Take your Bibles now and go to the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 16 this morning. Read the first 8 verses responsively. I'll read verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2, all the way through verse number 8. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse number 1, "And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, How much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended unto the steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, grateful to be able to be here. Lord, to be in your house, Lord, to have the opportunity, Lord, to call this great country our home. Amen. Lord, as we gather here this morning, Lord, we ask that you'd be with our pastor, that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. But Lord, more importantly, Lord, may we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's presence, Lord, here this morning. And Lord, allow the truth that is here to penetrate, Lord, not just our mind, but Lord, would you hide it in our heart, Lord, that we can become a better Christian, or we can become a better witness for you, better testimony to this world. Lord, we ask that you do all these things for us this morning, and we'll be careful to give you the glory for everything that's done here. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 16. I'm going to start with something that you'll think is unrelated, but I think if you'll pay attention, I have a truth that could transform your life. And I mean, every aspect of your life could be changed if you listen today. I love sports, especially baseball. I've played on baseball teams from the time I was, 4 or 5 years old, all the way through my young adulthood. I played on church softball teams. Sometimes I was playing 2-3 teams a year. I love baseball. There's just something about baseball that I was good at. I enjoyed it. I understand it. I understand all aspects of it. And I believe, personally, I believe it's a sport in which you can teach people about life. It's one of the few sports that I really believe is a good teacher about life. I had many, many, many coaches over the years. I had good coaches. I had pitching coaches. I had fielding coaches, batting coaches. I pitched, played third base. I could switch hit. I could hit either hand, left or right-handed. I did pitch right-handed. I did not pitch left-handed. But I could do many different things and threw a lot of junk. I understand baseball. May I say something? My coaches could never guarantee success. Listen to this statement. No coach can guarantee success. My coaches taught me the best way to play the game and the strategies when things were going right and the strategies when things weren't going so right. No coach could tell you pitch by pitch, play by play, exactly what was going to happen. Listen to this very carefully. They helped me adapt to every situation in every game so that I knew what was best to do when I faced that situation again. In baseball, a coach has another title. It's the title manager. If you see, especially in professional sports, they'll say the manager is, that's the coach. That's the head coach. He's the one who decides who plays what position, what the batting order is. He's the one who decides whether you're going to hit a sacrifice or a bunt. He's the one who tells the base coaches who's going to steal a base, who's not going to steal a base. He's the one to move players around when they're on the field and say, okay, this guy tends to hit the right field. We're going to move you over, move the shortstop over. We're going to plug the right side of the field, left side of the field, whatever. He's managing the game. That's what a coach's job is. Now, listen to this very carefully. He does not control the game, but he manages his team in the game. Baseball, like life, is a long season. Professional season, normal season, used to be 160 games. That's a pretty long season, playing 160 games. They start in April and go through September, and then by October you're in the playoffs. So that's a lot of ball playing. And may I say this, nobody has ever won every game in a season in baseball. The best teams in history in baseball lost 30% of their games. A team that wins 70% of the time is considered one of the best teams in baseball. Do you realize if that were in school grades, that's barely passing? Did you know that a batter, if they are successful as a batter 3 out of 10 times, 30% of the time, they're in the upper echelon of batting? That means 7 out of 10 times they fail. But 3 out of 10 times, they're a good hitter. If you only average 2 out of 10 times, you're a bad hitter. The difference is 1 per 10 between being a good hitter or a great hitter and an average or below average hitter. Such a fine line. Now listen to me. A good coach manages a team through these difficult times because no team wins every game. You're going to lose a game from time to time. By the way, not always does the team with the best record at the end of the season statistically go on to win the World Series. Now, God here in Luke chapter 16 tells us that as a steward is someone who manages the affairs for someone else. The Greek word for manager is the word steward. The word steward means faithful or one who cares for the affairs or manages the affairs for someone else. Now listen to this. Remember I said a manager doesn't control the game? He manages the game. Listen to this. Man gets in trouble in life because he wants to control life, not manage life. We get ourselves in trouble because we want to be in control. We don't want to manage. When we can't control the outcome of the events of life, we get frustrated, we get angry, we get mad, we get despondent, we get depressed. And it's because of a control issue versus management issue. You say, what is that? That's called the God complex. You want to be God and you want to control everything instead of manage it as it comes. God does not want us weak, sinful, finite humans controlling life. He wants us to manage life. Can I tell you something? I watch people get in church, become successful for a while, and leave church. The average church member lasts 7 years in a church. That was from 30 years ago. It's probably less than that now. It's probably about 3 to 4 years. You say, why is that? Because they're trying to control life, not manage life. Well, I tried that for a while. It's not working anymore. Oh, so you hit a dry patch, so it's time to jump out. You're only going to live the Christian life as long as it's easy. You're only going to live the Christian life when it's prosperous. But you're not going to win every game. As I go through the Bible, I see that great leaders in the Bible did not control life, they managed it. When we begin to control life is when we begin to mess up our life. When those in the Bible that tried to control life, those are the ones that messed up life. When those in the Bible who managed life as it came to them, they are the ones that rose to the top and became successful in life. I want to show you today what God has to say about managing life instead of controlling life. I call it be a manager. Be a manager. First of all, God leads by managing, not by controlling. Let me say that again. God leads by managing, not by controlling. Brother Harry, I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm not trying to criticize anybody when I say this, but the Catholics, the denominationalists, the Calvinists say that God is in control of everything. That's a lie out of hell. Let me ask you a question. That sin that you did today, yesterday, did God control that? So God's not in control of everything. You have to understand something, and I'm going to make this statement. These religious people, these denominational religiosity, so to speak, they say these things because they're just trying to justify themselves controlling people's lives. They want to control their people's lives. I have no desire to control your life. I'd like you to help. I'd like to help you learn to manage your life, but not control it. When's the last time God came down and forced you to do anything? So God doesn't control life. God manages life. Now, listen to this very carefully here. God gave man a free will to choose on his own. God didn't intend for you to die. We chose to sin, therefore we chose death. God didn't intend for you to get sick. But because of sin, we get sick. Sickness is part of the process of death. Everybody doing okay? Well, and I don't care if you're medication only or vegan and vegetarian and everything's all natural. It matters not to me which you believe. All of it came out of the same cursed ground.
That's right.
But can I tell you something? 90% of the natural food store came from weeds, which were a result of sin. They weren't there to keep man alive and healthy prior to sin. Everybody doing all right? I'm not criticizing either side of that. Even the medications that you get, it came from the ground, from the earth. Well, it's chemical. Yeah. Same stuff that came through the plants and the weeds that you're putting in your body. It doesn't matter. I don't have a preference. Don't criticize each other over which one you use either. I don't have a preference. But may I say this, God manages creation, he does not control it. God manages creation, he does not control it. Brother Mike, did you know that God did not make the sun come up this morning? He started it 7,000 years ago when he separated the light from the night. And he's going to keep it in control. He's making sure that the earth doesn't get too close to the sun. And he's making sure that the earth keeps rotating and revolving so that not one side gets baked and the other side freezes. You see, God's managing it. He's not in control of the fact that it's supposed to be 98 degrees today. It's called summertime. Isn't it amazing? They talk about global warming in the summer and climate change in the wintertime. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Quit blaming God for the weather disasters. Matter of fact, my Bible says that there is a prince and power of the air, and his name is Satan. He's as much in control of them more so than God is. God gave man enough sense not to build his house on the ocean. Man doesn't listen, so he builds his house on the ocean and wants to call it an act of God when a hurricane destroys it. Well, you're the idiot that built it right on the water. Oh, all these houses are flooding down the Mississippi River and all these rivers because of snow melt every spring. Well, you're the dummy that built your house that close to the water. You're going to pay the price. Well, it hasn't been like that in 50 years. Okay, but it has been that way. Think through this. Don't get mad at me. That's why there's something called a floodplain. If you're going to build there, you're going to realize you got a good chance of it washing away someday. Right. And don't get mad at God because it happened. Everybody doing all right? Amen. See, God manages things. He makes sure that there's summer and winter and fall and springtime in most places. Now, the closer you get to the equator, the less of that there is. That's man's choice. God manages man. He does not control us. God never came down and forced you to do anything. Well, I just don't understand why God didn't do this, because God wasn't allowed to. Man didn't give God a chance. Man did what man wanted to do. Quit blaming God for the fact that you won't give him control. He'll manage you. He'll say, okay, you screwed up. Let's take it from here. God says stewards or managers have to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, let me read this verse to you. 2 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says this. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. In other words, he's a good steward. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He said, temptation may come, you're going to be able to bear it, but if you fall into it, I'll make a way for you to escape. Because you won't do what I tell you, I'll still help you because I am faithful. Control means you have the ability to dictate all that happens. It means you know what the outcome will be because you are the one controlling it. God does not want you controlling your life. He wants you to manage it because you don't know the end before the beginning like he does. This is what man does by our sin nature. It causes us to want to be God, to control life. By the way, the God of our own flesh, God doesn't even lead this way. Now listen to this. God doesn't lead this way. He gave the angels a will to choose. That's why some of them followed Satan and Lucifer. He gives man a choice. That's why man chose sin and Satan's way over God's way. But he said, I'll manage you. I'll give you salvation, man, so that you don't have to die and go to hell. You screwed up. You're going to pay a price on earth, but I'll make it to where you can go to heaven someday. And God manages life for us. He does not control it. I don't think because you had a flat tire that God did it to you today. I don't think when you woke up with boogers hanging out your nose that God did it to you today. I don't think just because a bird died in your yard that God's giving you a sign. No, it probably died from the heat. It may have been old and it keeled over with a heart attack. It doesn't matter. Well, it's a sign from God. That's man trying to play God, not God trying to play God. So, first of all, we have to understand God leads by managing, not by controlling. Number two, are you ready? The Greek word manager is also the word steward. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse number 42. Luke 12:42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of the meat in due season. In other words, somebody that is managing the proportionment of different things in someone's household was called a steward, a manager. Luke 16, we read it a little while ago. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says this: "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Can I tell you something? A steward has to be faithful. Brother Josh, I'm going to use you for a second. Come on up here for a second. Brother Josh is a steward of God over certain parts of the ministry of this church. One of his main responsibilities is the music. That means this: before anything is ever sung up here, he has to preview it, the music and the words. After he's approved it, it's got to come to me. He also makes sure that it was written before 1995. Is that correct? Because it has to be at least 25 years old or we won't do it here in church. Say, why is that? Because I want it tested by time. After he's done that, he brings it to me and says, "Preacher, I think you could look at this." I go through the doctrine with a fine-tooth comb. I look at the music. If he approves it, I approve it. Then he takes it back to the person that wanted it approved and said, "You can do that." Say, what is that? It's us being a good steward. I know churches. There's a church in my hometown where I grew up that used to run 10,000 people. One of the most soul-winning churches in America back in the early 70s. What's the first thing to go in the church? Music. Now they have drum sets. They have their praise and worship team. They have a dance team that leads their praise and worship service. They don't even use the right Bible anymore. Where did it start? Music. Want to know why I'm such a stickler on music? I'll tell you why. Because I've seen music destroy churches. I think we ought to sing the old revival, old soul-winning songs. Let's get away from this classical music and Beethoven and Bach and all these other Fruit Loop composers you can have a seat. There's nothing wrong with classical music necessarily, but it's not meant to be church music. Right. Well, you need to be cultured. That's what they said about Jesus. He didn't wash his hands with his disciples before they ate. They just grabbed the food up and ate it. And they said, "Look, you need to wash your hands." He said, "Don't worry." He said, "What's on the inside is more important than what's on the outside." Amen. And a steward must be found faithful, and he, as a steward, he's required to make sure that he's faithful to this book, not to me. Amen. He's not supposed to be just faithful to you. He's to be faithful to God. Everybody doing all right? Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10, the Bible says this: "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." God says we are supposed to be good stewards of God's grace to each other. Can I tell you something? Let me bring it down to where we live. God wants us to prepare for what we cannot control or what we cannot know is coming. He wants us to manage life, not control life. Amen. You cannot control the Christian life or the spiritual life. That's right. Brother Myers, I can't control what you do spiritually. I can try to manage as things come up in life. Mrs. Myers, a few weeks ago, your sister went to heaven. I couldn't control that. But we managed our way through it. It's not going to change the fact that she went to heaven. But we were able to manage through life even though that happened. If I were in control, I may have said, "No, nobody should die." But guess what? as is appointed unto man once to die and after this judgment. I would be violating God's will. Everybody doing okay? I just don't think it's fair that God had this person die. Well, when is it fair when they do die? Quit trying to play God. Quit trying to control life. Everybody doing all right? Man wants to control it all. God wants us to manage it. A coach or a manager or a steward cannot foresee every problem, but they can adapt and make things happen without being destroyed if it didn't work out the way they planned. Brother Mike, I've had coaches. I played third base so much, it's like breathing. Ground ball, guy on first and second, you got to get the lead runner. So either the shortstop's coming to back you up and play third base, or you got to tag the guy, or you got to run to the bag. But every once in a while, you jiggle the ball, and you don't have time to make it. Then what do? Well, you get the closest play you can, it's probably at second base, or it might be first base. So you're looking at both to see what you can do. But then I've seen that happen. Throw it to first base, get the guy out. The guy thought he could go all the way to home that was on second base. Throw it to home plate, and then you're in a rundown between home plate and third base again, and then you get it back. It's called adapting. Could we plan that? No, but you learn to manage and adapt in the process. Man, Mike Longbacher was my favorite catcher when I was pitching. Mike Longbacher had a gun for an arm. I watched him. He was like Johnny Bench. Johnny Bench was too fat to get up and too slow. If you remember back in the 1970s, Johnny Bench made it famous to throw from your knees. Say why? Because he was too fat and too slow to get up. Johnny Bench could gun somebody out from home plate and never stand up. He would just... You say, why? Because he realized if he took the time to stand up, throw his mask off, and throw the ball, you clocked him with a sundial. But if he didn't take the time to do that, and he could throw it, he could... Do you know who invented the head-first slide in baseball? Pete Rose. Charlie Hustle. Pete Rose was not fast. He was big, but he was not fast. Pete Rose decided, instead of sliding with feet first, I can push and launch myself and go head first, scare those guys to death because they had never seen it before. And he said, I think I can get a little bit more jump if I do that. And that's what he did. That's where the head first slide came from. He was too slow any other way. Say, what is that? Good management, adapting to the situation. That's what God wants you to do in life. He does not want you controlling it. Boy, that's a good statement. Hang on. God wants us to be a good steward of what he gives us. He does not want us controlling him by us telling him what he has to give us, what we want. To most people, you pray, ask God for something, and if you don't get it, it's God's fault. Sometimes it's a matter of saying, God, how about you give me what's best for me, and I'll accept it. Amen. I'll adapt and manage. By the way, sometimes he gives you far more than you could have ever asked for.
Amen.
I learned a long time ago, don't ask for what you want, ask for what he wants.
Amen.
God's wonder is bigger than my wonder, trust me.
Amen.
God's wonder is better than my wonder. Do you know sometimes, young people, you ought to listen to your mom and dad and ask them what they want you to have versus what you want because you might get more. You remember the story of Jesus when Lazarus was sick? And he delayed himself and Lazarus died. He finally comes into town 3 or 4 days late, so to speak. And everybody's crying. Jesus, if you'd just been here, do you realize he was only 10 or 12 miles down the road? He could have been there. They said, look, if you'd have gotten here, maybe our brother would not have died. They could only see a healing. Jesus saw a resurrection. They were upset with Jesus because he didn't come and heal Lazarus. And pardon me being a redneck, but he said, "Watch this, y'all. Hey, Lazarus, where's he at? Let's go to the graveyard. Kick that door open. Oh, Lord, you don't want to do that. He's been dead 4 days and he's stinking. If you've never smelled 4-day-old dead body, you don't understand what that meant." He said, "Open up the stone, open up the tomb." Then he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And all of a sudden, he come walking out all wrapped up in grave clothes. And they said, "Uh-oh." They only saw healing. He saw a resurrection from the dead. Sometimes it's better to ask God what he wants versus what you want.
Amen.
By the way, when you tell God what he has to do or God's not fair, that's when disappointment comes. That's when bitterness comes. And I'm going to say this, that's when bad doctrine comes. I've watched churches change doctrine because they didn't feel it anymore, so they had to bring on their own feelings and change doctrine. Everybody doing all right? I've been criticized that we kept our church open by a lot of people. Number one, the governor never shut any church down, ever. Not one time. "You just don't care about the community. You don't care about your people." Well, I care enough about them to obey God.
Yes,
forsake not the assembling, the churching together of yourselves together as the manner of some is.
Right.
And you let the government tell you when you can meet, they're going to tell you when you can't meet.
That's right.
Preach on.
Good.
Guess what? Everybody's going to die. Whether it be of coronavirus, whether it be of the flu virus, cancer, whether die because of a heart attack, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, or because you did something stupid and mouthed off to your wife. Everybody's going to die someday. Can I tell you something? Bad doctrine comes when people don't get from God what they want. That's why churches stop soul winning. Well, it used to work, but we can't do it in society today. So maybe we shouldn't have done it to begin with. We'll just live a good life and people will come and want what we have. Gag. How about we just obey God?
Good.
You don't go soul winning because it builds the church. You go soul winning because God told us to do it.
That's right.
Take the gospel to every creature. Period. End discussion. Door by door. Person by person. Track by track. I got to hurry. Number three, this may surprise you. The word steward in the Greek also means something else. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. For some of you that have come out of denominationalism, this is going to be a wrap to your system, so hang on, but it's godly scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 1. "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife," by the way, it doesn't say the wife of a husband, "vigilant, sober, of good behavior," by the way, it doesn't say husband of a husband, "sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not a striker, nor greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous." Did you know that the word bishop is the word manager? The word bishop isn't some fat cat with a $500,000 hat on, sitting in an office telling everybody what to do. A bishop is a steward. He is a servant overseeing the affairs of the church. Here we go. Titus, just a couple pages over. 1 Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 1. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says this, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine." That gets rid of the Catholic Church. No striker, not given to filthy lucre. God says here that a bishop is a steward, a manager. My job as pastor of this church, as the bishop of this church, by the way, bishop, pastor, are all the same office. Okay? It's just a different part of the office. Now watch this. It means I am to be a steward of the work of God. I'm supposed to oversee the finances. I'm supposed to oversee the administration of the church as my title as bishop. My job is to use this to serve the people, not make you serve me.
Amen. That's good.
A bishop is to serve, not be served.
That's right. My
job is not to receive your service. My job is to serve you so you and I both can serve God better.
Amen.
That's my job. That's what a bishop is. Everybody doing okay? I've often said this. When I started this church 8 years ago, I'd been an assistant pastor for over 23 years. I knew how to be an assistant. And I had probably been a pastor of more people as an assistant than most pastors ever pastored. So I got alone with God one day and said, look, if you want me to start this, you'll pastor the church, I'll be your assistant. I know legally my name has to be pastor, but God, you're going to pastor this church. I'll just be your assistant pastor. Your pastor is an assistant pastor to God.
Amen.
I understand that. I am not supposed to be El Papa. I'm not asking you to kiss my ring, kiss my toe, or anything else. I am not to be God to you. Everybody doing okay? I am not the vicar of heaven. That's man lifting himself above what man can be. I don't speak ex cathedra in the place of God as though God said it. That's bad doctrine. That's man wanting to control people, not man being a bishop serving people. Do you know it's most of my work is to get you to do things that you wouldn't normally do for God on your own? Because we make lousy spiritual people on our own. Nobody in their right mind. Listen to this. This is coming from a soul-winning pastor that's been preaching 40 years, been knocking on doors every square inch of this country, believes in soul-winning from the top of my hair or scalp to the bottom of my feet. But nobody in their right mind, on their own, is going to go out, walk up to a total stranger's house, and say, how are you? I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. And do you get to go to church somewhere? Oh, you don't? Good. You're the person I'm looking for. Let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven someday? No. And stand there and open up your Bible and show them that they're a sinner on their way to hell, that Jesus paid the price, and all they have to do is bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior to take them to heaven. Nobody's going to do that on their own without somebody teaching them and somebody kicking you in the backside saying, go do that.
Right.
It is not a natural thing to our flesh to do that. Especially after about 20 doors slammed in your face saying, get out of here. Don't want to talk to you. I have knocked on millions and millions and millions of doors. From Seattle, Washington to Miami, Florida, from Southern California to Maine. I have knocked doors in 30-some states. I have witnessed to people all over this country. I've been doing it for over 40 years. You don't do that naturally. You need somebody to tell you to get off your blessed assurance and take the gospel to every creature. That's part of my job. It's not natural. I'm not going to embarrass Vonda, but people that didn't grow up in a church like this don't understand a church like this sometimes. Sometimes we don't understand it, so what's the difference? But, you know, Steve had his surgery, got home, a bunch of you ladies got together, took meals over for good night, 5-6 days, I guess. They still have a freezer full. I love it. I heard Vonda say it, and it broke my heart. It's the first time ever anybody ever brought meals to their house like that. I thought, how sad. Man, have you missed out in life? This is what we get to do all the time. That's what church family is all about, isn't it? Not in the average church in the world, but that's what God's church is all about. And I'm not picking on them. They know this. I didn't tell them I was going to say that, but help me. Did you know that that doesn't happen naturally, though? People have to organize it. Sometimes you don't even know there was a need there. You say, well, I didn't get called preacher. Don't worry, next one's coming. There's only so many meals you can take somebody, and then, you know, we didn't plan to do it for 60 days. Let me say this. A board is not to control the church. The preacher is supposed to be the bishop, not the board. Now, I thank God for the men on the board of Grace Baptist Church. I thank God for Brother Harry, my dad, Brother Scott, Brother Joe Lopez, and Brother Mike Schenenberger, Brother Josh. Thank God for Mrs. Barnes, who's a secretary for all that. Thank God for that. There are scriptural things of what a board is supposed to be. Let me describe it to you. I'm supposed to run the church. I'm supposed to manage the church. We have a board. We have trustees and deacons legally, and deacons are there to help me serve the church. So they help me serve by me borrowing their wisdom as we run the business of the church. Everybody doing okay? That's what they're there for. The board is not supposed to run the church. I don't mean this the wrong way, but Brother Scott, Brother Harry, Brother Mike, Brother Lopez, my dad, they don't know more about running the church than I do. That's not arrogance. I've been doing it for 30-some years. Brother Mike, I don't go to your job and say, I know more about your job, and I'm going to do your job for you, and I'm going to tell you how to do your job. You're not going to get me doing all this geoplasticity stuff, and good night. He does stuff that God doesn't even understand. Brother Scott, God knows I'm not going to do your electrical business and HVAC business. They'd have heat on it when it's cold, and or heat when it's hot and cold when it's cold, because I'd get it messed up with wires somewhere. Can I tell you something? I'm, and God knows I'm not going to be the mechanical one, right, Pop? I had an issue yesterday. Say, what'd you do? 1-800-DAD. That man can fix anything. If it can't be fixed by him, it can't be fixed. Period. End of discussion. It's just not fixable. Now, baling twine and a little bit of Gorilla Tape and a little bit of super glue, you can go a whole long way, amen? But if it can't be fixed by him, it's not going to get fixed. Say, what is that? I'm to manage it, but I'll borrow their wisdom in areas where we need a consensus of people to get the best knowledge that we can get. Boy, that's good stuff. I'm going to make a statement here. Any church where the pastor or the church board control everything is a dangerous situation to be in. Can I tell you something? I don't control everything here. I manage it, but I don't control it. Do you know I don't sign any checks? I can't. My signature doesn't mean anything. The only one I can sign is my paycheck on the back, not the front. I can't sign a check. We have to have two signatures on every check that goes out of this church. That's why you got to draw lines on them, because you can't get checks with two lines. But you say, why do you do that? That's a protection. That protects every person that signs a check, because two people then have seen it, where it's going, how much it is, to whom it's going to. Did you know we have three people at least that count the offering every time we have an offering? And the person who has the key for the lock bag doesn't have the key for the night deposit. Say why? That way nobody can accuse that person who had both keys of maybe getting into the kitty and taking something. I trust these people that help us with that, but may I say this? We've done that to protect them from accusation.
Amen.
We don't have the same person do the same thing every service.
Right.
Say why? That protects everybody. Say, why is that? By the way, those are things that I help manage. I don't control it. I couldn't tell you who's doing what today. But we've set the system up. They know how to run it, and they do it. And if I find out they're not, we fix it.
Sure.
You see, the board of Grace Baptist Church is a board of wisdom to help me manage the church. We're not controlling the church. God's in control, not us. I long to serve the people of this church. My wife and I have given every bit of our life to serve the people of this church. And I love doing it. I want to help you when you're sick and going through bad times. I want to help you when your heart's broken. I want to help you when somebody else is sick or you need something. That's why we're here. Well, I don't want to bother the preacher. Bother me, that's what I live for. I'm here to marry your young. I'm here to bury the dead. I'm here to comfort the feeble-minded and try to figure out what to do with the no-minded. I long to serve you. Say why? Because that's one of my jobs. I don't want to be served. I'm very uncomfortable with the notoriety that Brother Fugit wants to do for our church, because it's not about me, it's about our church. I'll do it for our church, and I'll do it for the ability for us to influence somebody else, but just so you know, I'm not real comfortable with it. Then my wife preaches at me. Well, honey, if you were going to invite somebody here to honor them, wouldn't you want them to show up? Shut up, woman. Oh, man. She said, how rude would that be if they invited you and you didn't go? She twisted it. That's where she started. That's not where she ended. That was the beginning of the conversation. It got worse from there. Now, wait a minute. She said, everybody knows you love to serve. But our church deserves this. And I wonder what other church needs what our church has. Oh, man. We were walking down the road. I almost made the curb an altar. I couldn't wait to get home just to, all right. Parents need to learn to manage the home, not control the home. Learn to manage your children, don't control your children. We all need to learn to manage our finances, not control our finances. I think marriage, you ought to work as a team, not individually on your finances. We need to learn to manage our marriages, not control our marriages. Too many marriages get in trouble where somebody's trying to control the other person. How about we manage what happens in life? We need to learn to manage friendships, not control friendships. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you get rid of cliques in your church? You don't let them start.
Amen.
It's that simple. Say, how do you bust that up? You just walk back in the middle of them and say, we ain't doing this. I lost 8 families in church over that in one shot. 2 of which were board members. Because they and their families wanted to control the church. And I said, there's the door. Don't let it hit you in the backside on the way out if that's what you're going to do. And they did and took 6 other families with them. Say why? Because it was a click. Everybody doing okay? You say, what is that? I don't try to control my friends. I try to manage how things go. Boy, that's a good statement. We need to manage the events of life, not control them. Too many Christians live discouraged because they're trying to control life, not manage life. Can I tell you something? Quit trying to control COVID, manage it.
Amen. Spread it.
You can't, by the way, no government in the world can keep people from getting sick.
That's right.
Government's not there to keep you from getting sick. By the way, did you know that the fatality rate of COVID worldwide right now is 0.0006%? 0.0001%. Oh, there's more and more and more and more and more cases. Yeah, but you don't realize the positive cases are asymptomatic,
right,
which means they become immune to it. That's how you get through this.
Amen.
How many of you, if you took a test right now, would test positive for having had the cold virus? Everybody in here, because you've had it. That's how this works. It's all politics. Let's learn to manage through life. Let's not try to control life. By the way, that's why I rebel at government control. You have to wear a mask. Here's the statement they're using. We've got to have compliance. That's Hitler tactics. That's communist tactics. Well, until we have compliance, we can't stop this. Did you know wearing the mask didn't change any of it? Matter of fact, it makes people sicker in other areas of life.
Yep.
Plain and simple. You say, well, I'm at risk. Okay, then take extra precaution. I get that. But you don't take extra precaution for the entire country and shut the economy down for a small percentage of people.
That's right. Amen.
I'm sorry. You say, well, somebody might die. Did you know there's people dying every moment of every day? We need to learn to manage in life, not control life. Our government is trying to control your life, not manage your life. God doesn't want you to control life. He wants you to manage life. By the way, He'll help you manage your life. He can't even control your life. He can only control that which you give Him control of.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's be managers, not controllers. Let's quit trying to play God. Let's learn to manage our way through life instead of control our way through life. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere down in that sermon, something I needed today, would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, 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 many hands. You may put them down. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, how about you come today? We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you've trusted Christ and never obeyed the Lord in baptism, we can take care of it today. Whatever the need, maybe you just need to come kneel an old-fashioned altar and give God control and quit trying to control your own life.